Morning, everybody. So, today is the first time I'm mic'd up here, so hopefully y'all can hear me. So, if things go crazy, I'm going to apologize. So, Pastor said something really important. He said, make sure that we pray for one another. So, I will tell you, even this morning, because whenever you're giving out the Word of God, it's never easy, right? It's always a little nerve-wracking or nervous. So, I asked quite a few people to pray for me, right? That's what we do for each other. So, if you would, if you'll open in 2 Timothy. So we're going to read here in chapter 2, and I just want to read verse 3 and 4. So 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Heavenly Father, just come before you today. I want to thank you for a place that your word can be preached and just the opportunity to be able to give out your word, Lord. Just ask that I not get in the way, that the words that you want be preached, and that everybody here be attentive, and just that our hearts be open to your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we have VBS coming up. You've heard that a couple times this morning. And there's a song that we sing in VBS. Simon the Lord's Army, right? I'm pretty sure most everybody here has heard that, right? Got a couple head nods, okay. So, when you're younger, you have all these songs that keep you engaged because you're little, and you want to march in the infantry and shoot the artillery, fly over the enemy, right? And when you're little, you understand what it means, you're in the Lord's army, but you really don't understand what it means. So what does that mean for us, right? So my question is, are you in the Lord's army? So it may seem like a vacation Bible school question, but really it's a question for grown Christians, anybody who's saved, right? So first point of today is salvation, because you can't be in the Lord's army if you're not saved. So that's the first requirement. There is no draft. The Lord won't make you be in his army. It's a choice. So we're going to read a couple of verses here. If you could go to 1 John. And we're going to be in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So we're going to start here in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. So that's pretty simple so far. These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And that's Jesus Christ. So first thing that you have to know is who Jesus Christ is, what he did, and that you're a sinner, obviously, for all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? So we talked about some negative things in Sunday school, that you have to accept the negative things to be able to understand that you're a sinner and that you can be saved. So, keep your place here. I'm going to come back to it. So if you would. But until then, we're going to read a couple verses in Ephesians. So bear with me. We're soldiers here. We're learning how to use our weapons. So hopefully you're turning with me. So we're going to go to Ephesians 2. Hopefully this is a familiar set of verses. So it's Ephesians 2. We're going to read 8 through 10. For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, right there, it's through grace, not works, right? Because if it's by works, you did it yourself, and then you wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ. But we all sin and fall short of that glory, right? So, I know me, if I do something good, my first reaction is, oh yeah, I did this, right? At work, I can unload a trailer and get in there and beat somebody out of that trailer, and, you know, there's some trash talk that goes back and forth. Well, who gets the glory in that, right? It's me. So, if I saved myself, who gets the glory? So, it's about God, it's not about us. So, but verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, don't think just because it's not of works that once you get saved, then you can relax, right? So pretty sure none of us are, or anybody who's in the military, signed up for the military and then just goes home and just relaxes, right? But that's what a lot of Christians like to do. So, just want to lead right into Romans, if you would. Romans 10. So we're going to be in Romans 10, we're just going to read 9 through 13. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, I wanted to start and go over these verses in case there's anyone here that is not a part of the Lord's army or is unsure about the Lord's army. So if you answered yes to these, if you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, the sins of the world, who knew no sin, that he was buried, rose again, and that he's the Son of God, then you're part of the Lord's army. So, that's not where it stops, though. So, unfortunately, that's where a lot of people like to stop. So, when putting this together, I realized that some of the things I wanted to say were a little bit harsh, but that's okay. So, we all need them, and that's myself included. So, thank you, Pastor. So, right there, it doesn't stop. You're in the Lord's army, and when you join the military, you have to go through basic training, right? Depending on what branch you join, depends on what their training is, but it all is the same goal. It's to get you ready for combat situations and to learn how to use your equipment to save your life or the life of others, right? So don't you think it would be the same as for the Lord's army? If you think about it, it's for combat situations to save your life and someone else's. So that should describe what the church should be pretty well. So if you would, in this same chapter, I want to read verse 14, and then really focus on 17. So how then shall they call on him in whom they have not been believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So point one was salvation. Hopefully everyone in here is saved and part of the Lord's army. Point two is, what is our mission? What are we training for? Right? You don't just join the army. There's always a purpose to it. You're training for a mission, and we're given orders, right? So our mission is simple. Even though we may have different jobs or different set of skills, different things like that, our job is the same. That's to preach the Word of God or give out the Word of God. So the mission is the same. So right here it says, you know, how will they hear if they don't have without a preacher? And faith cometh by hearing the word of God, hearing by the word of God. So my question is this: if we're all saved and we're all part of the Lord's army, that means someone cared enough or took this serious enough to give out the word of God to you. So why aren't we doing it the same for other people? So just when you think on that, that's our mission, right? How many times have you failed the mission throughout this last week? How many people have you come across that you have not told them about Christ? And sometimes the openings are there, wide open, and you don't take them, right? I'm guilty, so hopefully we're not failing the mission. Now, you're not going to win every battle, but the important thing is to stay on mission, right? So Satan will do everything he can to get you off of that mission. So, going to look at a few more verses here, if you would. Turn to Matthew. I've used this one a few times. I feel like this just lays it out just very clear. Matthew 28. And this is Jesus speaking in verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So, I was actually looking for the verse that says, go and preach the gospel unto all nations, but this one works. So, but that's our command. We're supposed to go, and we are supposed to give out the gospel. teach the gospel. It doesn't mean you have to go to another nation. It doesn't mean you have to do much. We all have different people that we interact with. So the question at this point is, you have to make a conscious decision to give out the Word of God, to tell them about Jesus Christ. But that's not just it. You want to tell them you have the gospel, you want to tell them about Jesus Christ, but the Bible is more than that, right? There's stuff that tells you how to live your life, things to do, things not to do. We heard Micah preach today and in Sunday school, and he said that the world's watching what you do, right? How you act, what you do, what your speech is, what you put into your life, that's what comes out, and the world's watching. So that's part of it too. Someone's upset. Can you give them a verse to help comfort them? I have written down, and it may be silly, I had a little necklace I used to wear because I was terrible at memorizing scripture, and it was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? And that was just something that I needed to kind of remind myself, right? But the question is, can we give out the gospel to other people as well as be able to give out the word of truth and be able to give out uplifting scriptures and things to deal with everyday life? If someone asks us a question about the Bible, can we answer them? Because that's what a lot of at work and things like that, when somebody asks a question, it's something that's normally off the wall, right? And then you're like, let me get back to you. And that's okay, but remember to get back to that person, right? Because sometimes people will ask me questions and I'll be like, I've never heard that. Hang on a minute, right? But it does help if you have some scripture memorized or if you have a Bible on hand. So I know they make little pocket Bibles to carry around. My poor Bible has seen a lot and been through a lot, and I'm surprised it hasn't fallen apart yet. I'm pretty sure one time when I walk up here, the pages are just going to fly all over the place. But if you would, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. So you're in basic training. What are you there to train for, right? You have your weapons. You have your armor, your gear that you put on. Depending on what branch of the military, you might have something like grenades or your handgun. It may be hand-to-hand combat. Whatever it is, you're learning different things. You have to learn endurance training. You have to go through a lot. So God actually gives you a set of tools to use here in Ephesians 6. So it's the armor of God. And this goes along with a lot of people maybe thinking, well, this is stuff that we learned in vacation Bible school. And that may be true, but then the question that I would ask is, if you want to know why you're learning it now, it would be, are you using it? If you were given these tools in vacation Bible school, or you learned about them in vacation Bible school, you're given them when you're saved, are you using them? So let's read. We're going to start here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So right there, that's the first thing right there. You're not doing this in your might, you're doing it in the Lord's might. So verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So don't pick and choose, you got to wear the whole armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm just going to read through the whole verses and I'll come back. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, Paul's asking for prayer for boldness, which is what I did this morning, right? I asked a few people to pray for me because I read this and I was convicted, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to bother anybody, or maybe I shouldn't say anything, but That's part of what we do. We pray for each other, right? And I would hope that if somebody needed prayer and they needed some comfort and somebody to pray for them, I would hope they would reach out and ask as well. So I just want to go over a few of these things right here. So the Lord gives you some equipment. We're going to go over our defensive equipment first. So for a normal soldier, this may be your boots, your bulletproof vest, your helmet, right? Pretty close. So right here, you have truth You have your loins girt about you with truth. So first off, you have to be able to stand in truth. And you have to know what that truth is. How do you know what that truth is? So I'm asking, how do you guys know what that truth is? Right. You open your Bible, right? You have to get the truth. At the very least, like we had talked about before, someone has to be up here, or someone in your life has to be able to give out the Word of God so you hear it. So you should be able to have some truth to be able to stand on. Hopefully you're able to get that truth on your own and do your own research. So you have the breastplate of righteousness. That's like your bulletproof vest right there. You put that on to protect you, right? So it says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So that's kind of an interesting one, right? Because it's the gospel of peace. That's what we're doing. We're going. We're putting our shoes on and you're going to go out there. Now, best application I can think of is like your boots, right? If you went to combat and you're barefoot and you're going to walk across some rocky terrain, or you got to walk through some tall grass that's got some burrs and some thorns in there, right? Or, you know, what if there's a snake waiting to attack you? I mean, if it goes to bite you, your feet are going to get pretty messed up. So hopefully you have your shoes of peace on. So your shield of faith, right? And I want to read that one specifically. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And it's interesting, it says here, above all, right? So that means we should probably pay attention to this one especially, right? So I actually did a message in Sunday school for the young adults group, and it was talking about the armor of God. And one thing here is it specifically says being able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? So the Lord's attacking you with fiery darts. If you don't have your shield of faith and you get hit, what's going to happen? You're set on fire, right? In a combat situation in medieval times, if you will, they would shoot fiery arrows. And if those arrows were to catch a soldier on fire, those soldiers would be in a line protecting each other. That soldier that caught fire, that fire would spread to the other members. So if you don't have your shield of faith up and you have some bad doctrine that gets in, or Satan gets into your life and you spread that around to the church, well, Satan's done his job, right? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean Satan can't use you against another Christian. And that's why it's important to have your armor up, your defense on. Because it's very easy to mess someone else up. That's one reason why I get nervous when I come up here, right? Because if I say something wrong, I'm handling the Word of God, which I've mentioned before is like the most powerful thing that you can handle. There's nothing in this world more powerful. And if you handle it wrong, you can hurt somebody. So, just keep that shield of faith up. Nobody else wants to catch fire because you didn't have your shield up. So you have your helmet of salvation. That's to protect your head, right? You have your helmet on to protect you from attacks that are incoming. So we talked about Satan being the principality of the air, right? So hopefully that helmet's covering your ears a little bit. You keep your ears, your thoughts on Jesus Christ, on your salvation. So now you do have what a lot of people look at as an offensive weapon. And actually, up until I was studying for this, I was like, this is your offensive weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's true, but a sword is also defensive. And I never really thought about this. And the example that I can use here is my cousin Jacob was bound and determined to take some kind of martial arts class, right? But only if me and my brothers took it with him. So he said, sure. We show up, and he signed us up for fencing. And so I was like, what in the world? Why? I've never even thought about fencing, but we took a couple classes, right? But all you have is that sword, and you have to use it to block your opponent, right? So it can be used defensively, and Satan will send people who have false doctrines, right? They have swords too, and they're trying to attack you. And if their doctrine is false, you have to know what you're doing with your Bible, and you have to know the words of God and deflect that sword, and they'll open themselves up. Because every false doctrine, you can find the holes in it, right? There's confliction. It doesn't agree with itself. And when that opening comes, hopefully you strike with the sword of the Spirit. So it is used offensively, but you have to know what you're doing. So make sure that you're reading study to show thyself approved, right? So you need to study your Bible to know when that opening comes that you can take that opening. Now, I'm not saying you go and pick a fight, but sometimes that happens when you go witnessing, right? You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know their background. You don't know what they may have been indoctrinated with. Or it might be nothing. It might be the first time they're hearing the gospel, right? But that's why you have to be prepared. That's why you have to make it through basic training. So hopefully you're not part of the reserves. Hopefully you're on active duty. So the last thing here is, what if you are ambushed, right? And we'll go over this verse, but we mentioned it in Sunday school again, which is pretty funny. I was going over a lot of these verses that Micah was talking about. And the devil walks about as a roaring lion. So lions will sneak up on their prey. So there's a sneak attack, and you're unarmed. You don't have your Bible. So that's why our military, and every military branch, is also trained in hand-to-hand combat, right? You don't have your Bible, but hopefully you've memorized some scripture, and I would like to go to Deuteronomy 11. I know this is Old Testament, but I do want to apply it here for us and for what we're talking about. So verse 18, so Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be the frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou raisest up. So you should be able to speak God's word, and you should have some scriptures memorized. Otherwise, there will be a time when you're defenseless. It's going to happen. Sometimes it happens in places you don't expect it. It could happen at the dinner table, family dinner. So somebody says something, and you're like, wait a minute, is that right? And if you don't know your Bible, you could fall for that trap. So I mentioned this because I thought I knew my Bible before coming to this church, right? I was a teenager, and I had heard scriptures from my parents and family members, and those scriptures were in me, and I could talk a little bit about the Lord. But then when I started coming to this church, and we started doing Sunday school trivia, right, they would ask these questions, and I'd be like, I don't know that answer, right? And it's terrible. Everybody in our class raising their hands, right? And I'm the one like, I have no idea. Felt completely clueless, right? Defenseless. So if I would have had to defend myself against a false doctrine, probably would have failed, right? And then I wouldn't have been able to give out the gospel to that person. So mission failed, right? Because I didn't study like I should have, because I didn't know the word of God. I wasn't wearing my armor. I didn't have my sword, right? So make sure you memorize some scripture. I'm going to tell you right now, that's my weakest part. I have to come up with songs or a way to like rhyme it in my head to try to memorize scripture. All kind of crazy stuff. Break it down word by word. I've tried all kinds of different things. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You'll see me up here in the choir. Be like, okay, we've memorized the scripture. We all start singing. I might start off good, and I'll be like, and then I'll be right back on track. It happens. But make sure you take the time to at least memorize some scripture. So hopefully you've graduated basic training, right? You have a knowledge of the scripture. If you're a soldier, you've learned how to use your handgun, your rifle. You've learned how to use the grenades if you're equipped with it. Now you can run 10 miles, right? Hopefully you've done all these things. Well, now it's time to start the mission. Right here is where most Christians stop. And that's for anybody in this church, myself, people listening. That's where most Christians stop. So in the military, imagine coming into your barracks and you grab your ammo, you grab your weapon, you're going to go on a mission. You leave, you go back to your tent, you put your feet up, and you go to sleep. A week later, you go back to the barracks, you grab some more ammo, you go back to the tent, put your feet up, go to sleep, right? Watch TV, whatever it is. How many Christians have stockpiles of ammo and weapons in their house, a Bible sitting on the coffee table, gathering dust, not using it? What good is it doing anybody? So, I know I kept a Bible in my car because I always wanted to have my Bible with me. Never used it for like 5 years, but it was there. Wasn't doing me any good. So the question I would ask is, how many of us are like that right now? We have stockpiles of ammo or stockpiles of weapons, Bibles in your house, one on every table, right? But they're just sitting there, doing anybody no good. So great, graduated basic training, and that's where it stops. And that's actually where Satan stops, right? He doesn't need to do anything to you. you're not doing anything for the Lord, so he's not even worried about you. So he doesn't need to walk around like a lion chasing after you. So hopefully you've made it past that. I'm not saying that I want you to put a target on your back, okay, but this is what we do. We preach the gospel. Like I said before, if somebody cared enough for you to give out the gospel, we should care enough for others to do the same. So, point number three, know your enemy. So, hopefully, Aunt Tracy, you don't mind, but I titled it that very specifically because my Aunt Tracy took spiritual warfare class, right? And, well, it was world religions, and they all had to sign something that asked why. Why were they taking this class? And most people, oh, I want to know about other religions. I want to know how people think. I want to know a broader scope of the world. Aunt Tracy, know your enemy. Right? But that's true. If you don't know what they believe, how are you going to defend yourself? So that was one of those things that stuck with me when I was younger, right? Like, oh yeah, know your enemy. If you don't know your enemy, you don't know how to defeat him. So, if you would, turn to 1 Peter 5:8. We were here earlier. But that's okay. That means the Lord really wants somebody to hear this. So, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, very specifically, the Lord uses walketh about as a lion, right? It's considered a very powerful creature, right? But a lion, when it roars, will sometimes freeze its prey because they're terrified. And they can attack. It's not hard. They're frozen in fear. So hopefully we're not frozen in fear. But we're just getting to know our enemy right now. So if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 11. And we're going to read verse 13 and 15. So 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. So we're kind of starting in the middle of the chapter here. But for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So that's some of your opponents right there. We go out, we give the gospel, and it's great when somebody receives the gospel. And if we go door to door and we witness to people, and people are open to hear the word of God. But you are going to run into these people that seem righteous, right? These other religions that seem like they have some form of holiness, but Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. These people are deceitful, and their whole mission is to give out their false doctrine. And hopefully you don't fall for that. Hopefully you remember your basic training and you've done some more advanced training when giving out the gospel, right? And you can defend yourself and hopefully you can attack back. Because there may be people that are listening, not just the person that you're talking to, but there may be people around that are listening that you're ministering to. You don't even realize it. So if you would turn to Ephesians 4. So before we look at this, you have Satan as a lion, and like I said, it doesn't stop there. This is spiritual warfare. He has an army of demons or people that have been falsely led that he uses. So that's where you see those false prophets, those people who appear righteous that aren't, those false churches, cults, all that. So verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that goes right along with it. They're waiting for that opportunity. Because just like our mission is to give out truth, their mission is to give out error. And they will mix it with truth. So I'm a firm believer in your King James Bible here. And Satan's first attack was on the Word of God. So you have people that will start ministering unto you using other Bibles. Book of Mormon, right? Joseph Smith, all that nonsense. They'll start talking to you and it'll sound great. But you should be able to see through that. Also, if you've been reading your King James Bible and you hear somebody preach or teach out of another version, even if you don't have this with you, you can hear the difference. And I didn't understand that until I was listening to some messages on the way to work. And I was like, whoa, wait, that doesn't sound right. Now, I couldn't quote the verse that he was on. It just it didn't sound right. So I looked it up later, and there were words that were changed because they've altered the Word of God. And it's so subtle. But you should be able to hear that, right? Train your ear to be able to hear those false doctrines or the false words of God, because that's not truth. So hopefully you have God's Word with you in your lap today. So, in its complete entirety. So, Satan has an army. That's your enemy. He's got false prophets, false doctrine. But right here, hopefully, we're still not in vacation Bible school. Hopefully, that we're no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We've graduated basic training and we're out there giving the gospel, right? If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 10. So we're going to start here in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations of every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if you're part of the Lord's army, the Lord just it's not just God. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the church body. You have all the angelic beings. Not only is God's army bigger, it's stronger, and it's something that you can be a part of. Hopefully you don't want to be a part of Satan's army. I would hope not. So that aside, hopefully you want to be a part of the Lord's army. And like I said earlier, hopefully you don't want to be part of the reserves. Hopefully you're active duty. You're out there giving out the gospel. So if you would turn to James. James 4. Seems like everybody's keeping up today. I appreciate that. So I will say this, most of the stuff that we've been talking about, you can't do in your own power. So you have these people who will say, oh, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, that's not me. I can't give out the Word of God because I'm the random guy that sits in the back of the church. I'm not a teacher, I'm not a preacher, but the Lord wanted me to give out the Word of God, so here I am. So anybody can do it. You're like, oh, but that's not me. I can't do it. You're kind of right. I can't do it either. It's in the Lord's power. So that's the first. Your frame of mind is not right. You're trying to do it in your own power, and you can't. It's through the Lord. So right here we're going to read James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We make it really complicated, but it's really simple. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because Satan's going to go after the people who don't know their Word of God. He's going to go after the people that are preaching and teaching the words, but their defenses are weak. He's going to go after the people he can corrupt. So if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we make it really hard, and it's not. But the world makes it so tempting, right? Be sober. Oh, but everybody I know drinks. Oh, everybody after work's going out, and we're going to a bar. Right? Well, don't put yourself in that situation. Don't go. Or don't drink, right? It's simple. Drink something else. But we make it really hard. Everybody around me curses and uses language. You can't find any other word in the English language to use? There's a lot of them. So, once again, we're making it really hard because we're entangling ourselves in the affairs of the world because we're more concerned with that than we are with Christ. So, I had two examples, and I don't like to necessarily use personal examples, but I have two of them that I wanted to use today. So, where I worked before, I used to get off with enough time to make it to our program that Saturdays we go, you know, knocking on doors and witnessing. And I was asked, hey, if you want to come on Saturdays, we go door to door. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? Right? But I was just saying yes. I didn't really want to go, right? So, sure enough, after I said that, work got out early every Saturday after that. So now I'm like, well, I kind of have to go now, right? So I showed up and not a clue how to talk to people. I'm knocking on somebody's door. I'm in foreign territory, right? How do I start up this conversation? Well, thankfully, I was either paired up with Micah or Pastor, right? I let them do the talking, but I'm listening. And I learned a lot from the time when I was able to do that because people who would accept what we were saying, I learned how to approach those situations. And I learned scriptures to use with that just by listening. People who were false prophets and had false doctrine, right? They would start talking about some nonsense, and I wouldn't know which way was up and down, right? But I heard and I saw how to handle a weapon, how to handle your sword of the Spirit, right? How to put on your armor. And thankfully, there were two people, and there were others, but mainly the two of them, that was there to also protect me with their shield of faith, right? But I could learn and see how spiritual warfare should be done. But if no one was there to do that, right? They did that for me, so now I need to get better to do that for someone else. So even if you're talking to someone, you never know who's listening. And that can be just as important as the person that you're talking to right there. So the other thing, if you think that just because you're saved, Satan won't use you to mess up somebody else, then you're wrong. And you need to be strong against that. Sometimes Christians are the biggest adversaries we have when giving out the gospel, which is crazy to think about, but it happens more than you would think. So this is actually fairly recently. I was able to go to one of the block parties that we have, pass out gospel tracts, right? And we were kind of laughing because people would come up to me and I'd go to hand them a gospel tract and they'd look at me and just keep walking, right? And then Brandon would go hand them a gospel tract and they'd be like, oh, thank you. What is this? Right? So Matthew shows up, my younger brother, and he comes out first person, hands him a gospel tract, like, oh, thank you very much. Right behind him, I go to hand one, and the person starts cussing me out. So I don't know what that's about, right? So, but anyway, I did get some people, some good conversations, and that's one thing that was good, is when somebody would stop and talk to me, I was actually able to talk to that person for a while and get a good conversation going. Well, this lady walks by, and I go to hand her that gospel tract, and she just looks at me with this terrible look. She keeps going, right? She didn't make it but 5 feet, stopped and turned around. So I'm like, oh, great. She's coming back to talk to me, right, about this gospel tract. This is a great opportunity. So she comes, and she actually takes the tract. She looks at it and reads it, and then she just makes this terrible face. She goes, do you know how many trees had to die to make this? And she throws it back in my hand, walks away. And I was like, fair enough, right? I mean, it's a track about this big. I'm pretty sure, you know, a branch, maybe. But I was like, it is what it is. You get all kinds of people, right? Well, we had been invited to a special service the next morning at another church. So some family had invited us, so we went. And so me and Matthew are there. We park, and we're walking into the church. And guess who we see? The same lady who threw that track back at me, right? And I was like, that makes no sense, right? But think about it. She cared more about the tree that died than the man that died. She was entangled with things of the world and going green and all these things out there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But do you put it above Christ? She would rather stop or hinder the gospel going forth than to preach it, because she's more worried about a tree that may or may not have died than someone's salvation, and there was a man who died. So, put that in there, because you don't want to be like that, right? I don't want to be like that. I don't want to stop someone from giving forth the gospel. Hopefully we lift each other up. We pray for one another. We're there for each other. We're going to go through hard times, but endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, right? The Lord's doing it to make you better and that you'll rely on Him, but we lean on each other. So, I like to always end with a few questions here. So first off, are you saved? So if so, then you're in the Lord's army. Have you gone through basic training? Did you get saved and never open your Bible again, never hear about the Word of God, never listen to it, anything? Probably at some point everyone has, right? So hopefully you've gone through basic training and graduated. And then, well, I've asked this question twice. Are you in the reserves or are you active duty? So that's what I have.